You can have some strange experiences at midnight. Telephone started ringing and I picked it up. Near the end, it's an ugly voice. That voice sent it to me in substance, nigga.
Go sit down.
Dear tired of you and your master. You are out of this town in 3 days.
When we heed a certain call.
Gonna blow your when brains the world out and blow up
must
your
come
house.
Together as one. There are people dying.
Some reason that later got to my turn over and I tried to go to sleep, but I couldn't.
The greatest gift of all. We can go on. Pretending day by day,
and I
step
got up
home. Somewhere we can make a change. We all are part of God's great big family. And the truth, you know love is all we need.
We're done and out. The next thing's gonna hurt at all.
through death. God, I will give you a crown of life. He did not say, you understand, be thou faithful until death. And I don't know the reason why, but for some reason we falsely use that verse. And for some reason we somehow misquote that valuable verse in our Bible. My God, because it does not say, be thou faithful until death. My God, but rather it says, be thou faithful unto death. And that is a difference in the word until and the word unto. Oh Lord, and that word until means to the point. But the word unto means beyond the point. Oh Lord, and until.
This is Billy Graham and Dr. King.
Is there an
Dr. King
yes,
marched
there
in Chicago.
The answer is in the cross of Jesus Christ.
Billy Graham invited Dr. King to his evangelism. Matthew 6:33, speak first to King of God.
I have some very sad news for all of you, and I think bad news for all of our fellow citizens and people who love peace all over the world. And that is that Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.
Graham, I believe you've just been informed of the tragedy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes, and I was just informed about 5 minutes ago, and it comes as one of the greatest shocks of my entire life. His friend
this
called
is Billy Graham.
And that's the way I knew him.
Billy and Martin were good friends, and a lot of whites damned Billy for that. They said, why would you hook yourself up with a communist? He's no good. Billy said, no, he's my brother. Because Billy told him there was a time when I didn't take a stand for the race problem. And I preached to segregated audiences. But I got to know Martin Luther King, and I felt what he felt, and I took a stand for an open crusade.
We demanded integration almost from the beginning of our meetings in the South. And as a result, I think that this laid a groundwork at that time. Now, today, it's almost impossible for the present generation to understand what things were in those days and what it took to be that way, how many threatening letters we got, how many threats against my family as a result of the stand that we took at that time.
I think both Dr. Graham and my father were trying to make the world a better place.
There is no excuse ever for bigotry. There is no excuse ever for bigotry and intolerance. We are to love as God loved us.
We don't need any guns. We don't need any bullets. We don't need any physical ammunition. We have a power. All we need is to pick up the ammunition for power. Yeah. Take it all in. What was the success?
Yeah.
Then put on the breastplate of righteousness and the hope of all those born and then God's heart.
Yeah.
They were different, obviously, in their style and their approach, but I think their heart and their goal were the same.
Billy Graham's first public acts against racial segregation took place at his crusades in the South during the early 1950s. At the time, it was common practice for ropes to separate the white from the black sections.
He walked into the crusade and they had ropes up. Billy saw them. Blacks were supposed to sit back of that, and the whites would sit in front. I was appalled at it and decided that I had to speak out on it and had to do something about it. I said, no more of this. And I went to the head usher and asked him if he would remove the ropes, and he said, no, he wouldn't. Billy got up from the platform, and he walked down past the ushers and took the ropes down himself.
And I remember that the head usher resigned. And there was quite a little flack about that.
That was a historic moment in history with the church. And that opened up his friendship with Martin Luther King and other people. And he really practiced what he preached.
In a 1956 article published in Life magazine, in which Billy made a plea for an end to intolerance, he wrote, "It is not sufficient to urge people to love their neighbor unless we lead them also to the capacity to love. Christ gives men this capacity.
We must meet Christ. We must know him as our Lord and our Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts, we shall be saved."
His approach was more of trying to get people into the relationship with Christ, that that would transform their mindset and the way in which they live, so they would see people differently. And thus treat people differently.
Everybody's calling is not the same. And Mr. Graham's calling is the proclamation of the gospel, in which if he can reach his hearts through the Spirit of God, that can change a man's whole life completely.
Billy's burden to end the blight of racism through evangelism continued to motivate his actions. This would be evident during the early days of the 1957 New York Crusade.
In New York, Mr. Billy Graham makes a dramatic denunciation.
There's something wrong with human nature. What is it in the nature of men that causes men to lie and hate, cheat, steal, lust, and have pride and bigotry and intolerance and racial intolerance? What is it that causes men to have these terrible things down inside of them? The problem of the world tonight is sin.
Billy had said, "I'm reaching 28,000 people every night at Madison Square Garden. The place is packed and jammed." But he said, "I'm frustrated, I'm concerned, I'm not reaching people of color." And he said, "I don't want this to be a white man's crusade." He said, "Howard, what must I do?" I said, "There's one thing you can do." He said, "What?" I said, "Go where they are." He said, "I'll go." So one Sunday afternoon, we went up there. I made all the arrangements. We're going to have it Salem Methodist Church, a large church in Harlem. And we ended up with 8,000 people there that afternoon. Then the next Sunday, we went to Brooklyn. 10,000 people turned up. Billy preached. They responded. He said, "Will you come?" They said, "Billy, since you came to Brooklyn, we're going to come to Madison Square Garden." And that was the beginning of the change of the racial climate in Madison Square Garden. There was a browning, a coloring of that tremendous crowd. During the New York Crusade, another very interesting thing happened. One night he invited Martin Luther King to come and pray. And again he got some nasty letters. He said, "Why do you want to have that in preacher here?" Again Billy said, "I don't care. I'm going to do what's right." So that night, Mark came. He sat on the platform right next to Billy. So Mark got up and prayed. I have never heard that man pray a prayer like he prayed. And he really touched heaven, so to speak.
Tonight, we're delighted to have from Montgomery, Alabama, Dr. Martin Luther King, the minister of the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. Heavenly Father, out of whose mind this great cosmic universe has been created, we come recognizing our dependence on thee. We stand amidst the forces of truth, and yet we deliberately lie. We stand amidst the compelling urgency of the Lord of love that's exemplified in the life of Jesus Christ. Yet we live our lives so often in the dungeons of hate. For all of these sins, oh God, forgive. We thank thee this evening for the marvelous things which have been done in this city through the dynamic preaching of this great evangelist. We ask thee, oh God, to continue blessing him, give him continued power and authority. that we listen to him tonight, grant that our hearts and spirits will be open to the divine inflow. All of these things we ask in the name of him who taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Well, I think with Dr. Graham and Dr. King on the same platform, more than likely it's been a very powerful message, especially to those in the South.
And that took courage, a lot of courage on their part, as a matter of fact, because it could put their lives in danger as well. A lot of things that the black pastors didn't know was that Dr. Graham had helped Martin Luther King and many, many areas with regard to his imprisonment, paying of fines, and that kind of thing, and encouragement along the way. It wasn't something Mr. Graham did for his own prominence to get.
Brother Graham helped Dr. King by sending money to SCLC. He didn't tell nobody. But Dr. King and Brother Graham were very close. And Billy Graham opened up many doors for Dr. King. Dr. King opened many doors for Billy Graham. I think you need to know that tonight. Billy Graham is in the spirit world. Martin Luther King is in the spirit world. We're going John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I want you to get ready. Going into this month, going into the month, September, Labor Day, praise in Malachi. Right? It was packed with white folks. But white folks understood when you speak about God, it ain't no color. God is just the God of the universe. And God what? And I want to salute Billy Graham and Dr. King for coming together. And you can see the power of Billy Graham and the power of Dr. King. Both of them open up doors. 10,000 people or more, blacks, came, and they were in New York. They came to the crusade, black and white. When Billy Graham said, come down to pray, black and white came to stand for prayer, for healing. That's a compliment in the 50s and the 40s. So this thing was God. And I want to say that to you tonight. Psalms 44, Psalms 29, St. Matthew 6:33, Mary, and lots of people in Detroit ain't got no lights. I talked to some of them, got their lights back on. Exodus 14:14, Psalms 59, Psalms and Name and Prayer, Psalm 21, Exodus 23:20. I want to invoke the spirit of Raphael, which is the healing angel this month. I want to invoke his spirit, that angel to come to give you what you need, open up many doors for you, or you might get a chance to go to the next level. The thing about Billy Graham and Dr. King, I'm going to play a little bit more of that, and we're going to go back to prayer.
Press interviews out of it, but it was something he did because of his concern for justice and his desire to help people, but he did it in his way.
From Eisenhower to Kennedy to Johnson and then Nixon, Billy worked closely with all these presidents, encouraging them to take steps to end racial segregation.
When they tried to integrate Central High School in Little Rock, Arkansas, that was 1957, and President Eisenhower called me on the phone, and he said, Billy, did you see the picture in the paper this morning of the black man being kicked down on the street in Little Rock? And I said, yes, sir, I did. He said, I think we're going to have to send some troops in there to hold that down and to stop that. He said, what do you think about it? I said, well, I don't think you have any alternative. I said, it can't go on like it's going now. And something dramatic has to take place.
Billy also offered to hold a crusade in a troubled city, but the local committee thought it would be impossible at that time. When the meetings did take place 2 years later, their impact would prove to be far-reaching.
Almost 50 years ago, my Sunday school teacher took me to Little Rock to hear Billy Graham's crusade. The schools were closed because of Little Rock Central High School integration crisis. The White Citizens Council in Little Rock tried to convince, even to pressure, Billy Graham and all of his people to preach to a segregated audience. And he told them that if they insisted on that, he would cancel the crusade and tell the whole world why. So here we were, with neighborhood after neighborhood after neighborhood in my state on the verge of violence. And yet, tens of thousands of black and white Christians there together in a football stadium. And when he issued the call at the end of the message, thousands came down, holding hands, arm in arm, crying. It was the beginning of the end of the Old South in my home state. I will never forget it.
I had the privilege of being at the White House at a party the night the Civil Rights Bill was passed. Hubert Humphrey came in about 9 or 10 o'clock. He was very tired. And he came straight over to me. He said, Billy, he said, this bill will never really be implemented unless it comes to peace. And he said, this is the job of you and the children. They help bring about love for our people. I believe that the answer to our great moral problem, our social problem, lies in the gospel of Christ, in the transformation that he can bring. We need legislation, yes. But legislation cannot improve the morals of America alone. Are our social problems alone. It must come from something deeper, because our problem is basically spiritual. We've passed all the civil rights laws that you can't think of anything hard to, they haven't passed. But that hasn't made everybody love each other automatically. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, in that you...
Well, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, and that's what it takes, love. And Billy Graham said it, Dr. King said it, Bishop Gayton Mossimo said it, Bishop Roth from Baton Rouge said it. So I want to tell you tonight, for God so loved the world, he gave his own begotten Son, and the God in you is spark the healing. Tonight I'm praying for you. The lot's going on, but God is in control. With all that's going on, the storms, I'm praying for the people in Jackson, the people that on the tornado watch right now, those that don't have any water in Dixon, Illinois, kids can't go to school. Kids can't go to school down in Mississippi because of the Pearl River, flood after flood, back after back. But I want to pray. Dr. King inspired me, motivated me. That prayer, he prayed it. In Madison Square Garden. And it wasn't all black. It was white and black. Prayer have no color. The prayer and lifting of God. Father God, we come tonight. Somebody need a healing. Father God, we come tonight. Somebody need a breakthrough. Somebody need to let the evil go, the jealousy go. Father God, we come tonight for the healing, to move cancer, move cataract, to move every condition. God, we come, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, we come tonight, call on your name to bring love and peace. Stop the killing, save the babies. Father God, we thank you for what you already done and what you're going to do. Father God, we thank you for those that are praying that the kids go to school safe. I said we need alarms in the school. We need protectors in the school. We need to know the kids are going to school without guns and knives. Only if men get together and say no more assault weapons. And what's going on across this country, I want to lay the fault on the Republican and Democrats, on those people who not pass the law should be banned. The God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the Almighty God, the God of the universe, God will bring us out. And I want you to know this evening as I pray for you, as I invoke the angel Raphael to you, as I tell you, Exodus 23:20, that angel going to come and guide you to the next level. I'm praying for you, Troy. I'm praying for you, Luke, and also I'm praying for you, Mary, that calls me. And I want to tell you, those that have no lights on and those that in the dark, those that lost a house by floods, lost a house by tornadoes, lost a house by fire, God is in control. The world all messed up. But I want you to stay prayerful. Psalms 29, Psalm 44, and Psalm 59. Psalm 51, God going to clean things up. And I was talking to Pastor Ever. I was saying, God, the healing is in the atmosphere. Cleansing is in the atmosphere. It's time for you to repent of your sin and tell God to save you and your family. Because at a blink of the eye, they can be gone. The killing and the murder and all the pills they're taking, the pills that we have more people right here in America on crack, cocaine, and we're trying to look over it. There's a lot of shooting going on, but there's more people are dying of an overdose. They're dying of these pills that they have, the pharmaceutical, let go. But I want to tell you that the spirit of the ancestors, I say. I want to tell you, Mildred, that called me all the way from Arkansas. Mildred, I want to tell you all is well. When you ask me, Bishop, I'm going to fast. Everything's going to be all right. And those that have come, I'm in the spirit realm now. That's a healing for you, and I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you, Gene. That's a healing in your left arm. As I pray, your ancestors say it's going to be healed. George, I want you to know, you called me and said, Bishop, it seemed like I can't make it. George, if you put down that ball, let me say it again. Your ancestors said, Bishop, don't buy into him. Put the ball down and leave the alcohol alone and watch God bless you. You cannot hold on to old things and look for new things. You got to let old things go and let God come in to give you new things and new ways. I'm praying for you, Pearl, Mary, Hawkins. I'm praying for you, those that lights off and those that ain't got no water down in the Hattie. I'm praying for you. And Lord, down in Pickens, Mississippi, she's a bitch. We don't have a water problem. I'm praying for Pastor Ella down in Greenville, Mississippi. I'm praying for Sister Anderson right down there in Greenwood, Mississippi. And I want to tell you all is well, and the prayers of the righteous avail as much. And whatever going on, God's going to see you through the storm. God will make that door for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I want God to touch you in a mighty way. And God's going to do that. And you know, when you in the spirit realm, things change. When you get in the spirit, God touch people, and people reach out and touch other people. So I'm asking God to reach out and touch you tonight. Whatever problem you're going through. In the book of Ezekiel was a prophet of God, but he had to wait for his order. And sometimes you have to wait for your order. Oh, I want to tell you, Mother Francis, all is well. Things will work out. Sister Barbara, I'm praying for you right there in New Jersey. And you ask me, Bishop, it's going to be all right. I want to tell you, Sister Barbara, it's going to be all right. And like you said, that your mother keep coming to you because she wants you to understand that she had brought you this far by the Spirit, and she's going to carry you further. Sometimes you have to get ready and claim the power of the Almighty God. There's a lot going on, but God got your back, and God opened up a door for you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that we ever believe in, you shall not perish. Love lifted me. And I want to tell you tonight, be angry, don't be mad, give it to God. I go back to Exodus 14:14. You can't be jealous because somebody got a new car. You can't be jealous because somebody got a new house. You can't be jealous because somebody God. Your blessing going to come. And when your blessing comes, it's going to oversee the devil. The devil give you something for a little while. Oh, He drives a brand new Cadillac. He wrecked the Cadillac because he wouldn't got it right. He drives a brand new Rolls Royce. He wrecked Rolls Royce. Wonder what happened because he didn't get it in the name of the Father. What God gave him, you're going to keep. All that the devil stole, God going to restore to you. I was asking somebody, God going to restore all that the devil stole from you tonight. And when you see on the grave, it said, that badge, in between that badge is light and breakthrough. I'm praying for you, Brother John. You said you had problems with your stomach. I'm praying for you. Joe, I'm praying for you. Sometimes you got to let go and let God. And once you let go and let God, every yoke that we're at this hour will open up. So somebody needs to know. And I want to share with you, St. Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God, the righteousness of God, and all other stuff, the cause of what you need, God going to give you what you want. I thought about this setback for a comeback. I seen what a girl playing tennis, she was set back, but she come back. God can always bring you back to where you're supposed to be. And I want to tell you, 35:59 out of Arkansas, that boy come to me in spirit. He said, look, all them that did me wrong going to get caught up. 81:38 in the spirit where your mother said, hold tight. Don't let nothing upset you because that vow is going to be fought. 96:07, your father laughed and said, don't, it ain't over yet. So don't even let you get upset and saying, well, they doing good. They ain't doing good. They are tormented. This is part of their torment. So you just back up and keep praising God. And I want to tell you, 23:20, God got a door. He opened up for you. The name Moses come to me, the name Carrie. And Carrie said she wants you to go home. And after this flood, and see about your farm, see about the family place. And the family place is down in Canton, Mississippi. So you go and see somebody want to buy it, but don't sell it. And I'm praying for you right there in Vaughan, Mississippi. And I want to tell you, Brother Clam, your father coming, you walking over that land. That's all on that land. You got to go and claim it. You got to come up out of Detroit and go claim that land. Your ancestors said, you've been trying to get rich. You're already rich and don't know it. So sometimes you have to wait on God. Father God, we come tonight. Psalms 91, Psalms 21. Psalm 59, 100 number Psalms. I want you to read that. God going to pray a blessing. If you got a need tonight, you plant a seed going into September. I know some of you ain't planting no seed. You want to come down and work. Plant that seed. You say, God, I'm planting this seed because I want this to loosen up. I'm planting this seed for my healing. I'm planting this seed. Everybody that planted seed got blessed. The widow woman gave that whole cake, and she fed people. And the prophet fed the angels, and God blessed him. Daniel, in the lion's den, prayed the lion lock. Hebrew boys prayed, and the fire, air condition come. When you got a need tonight, you plant a seed. Going into the new month, you pledge, Lord hallelujah. So, Bishop, this is my seed. And I want you, Lord, I don't want to give you no figure. I want God to put it in your head. I need to see this for that. I need to see this for peace. I need to see this for love. You're trying all you can, but have you thought the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is time? Have you thought, shake down, press together, run over God, give to your bosom, whatever you need? You got to say, Lord, this is my seed, not my husband's seed, not my child, my seed. For what I want. And God will give it to you, and people stand right wrong, you don't get nothing. See, you say, well, I'm been good. It ain't how good you've been, it's how faithful you've been to the word of God. Glory, hallelujah. I want you to get ready for God to touch you tonight in a special way.
until the Babylonian exile. It was then that the priests and the Levites.
See, sometimes you have to look and see what's going on around you. And you say, why things happening to me? For dying, why? People being killed, why? So much happening. The Lord, David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Don't be afraid of what David was saying. David said, I put all my trust in God. I don't know who you put your trust in. You might put your trust in your children. You might put your trust in your husband or your wife. But when you put your trust in God, glory, hallelujah, something good going to happen every time. Let go tonight, going into September. It is Labor Day. Every day is Labor Day. Every day is the $1 trillion flow day. Every day is the day of love. I wish I had somebody know what I'm talking about. Every day God got something for you. You don't let the devil steal your glory. You don't let the devil get what God got for you. God got a new door open up for you, man. Woman, it's time for you. Pearl, I'm praying for you. Pearl, I want you to stop worrying about grown folks. You know what I'm talking about. And I want to tell you, Mary Hawkins, I want to talk to you tonight. All is well. Don't worry about it, because God going to make something happen. I thought about what you told me. I said, we ain't, really, you ain't put your angel to work. Sometimes Ezekiel was in the valley of the dry bones, but Ezekiel had to say, Lord, I know it. And then when death come, I share our ancestor. I want to tell you, Brother Rogers, I got your text. And you said, Bishop, why the death in my family like this? I want to tell you, brother, God is in control. And sometimes you got to let go and let God. I told you that a lot of evil going on in this world. In the day of Noah, they had flood. What we have in
this speak unto death. God, I will give you a crown of life. He did not say, you understand, be thou faithful until death. And I don't know the reason why, but for some reason we falsely use that verse. And for some reason we somehow misquote that valuable verse in our Bible. My God, because it does not say, be thou faithful until death. My God, but rather it says, be thou faithful unto death. And that is a difference in the word until and the word unto. Oh, Lord. And that word until means to the point. But the word unto means beyond the point. Oh, Lord. And until means it's limited. But unto means it's beyond all bounds and beyond all limits. Oh, Lord. And if I think about this church, and how about the Franklin bought this church from a mighty long way? Oh, Lord. Yeah, evidence shows that there were too many until members instead of unto members. Oh, Lord. And Reverend Franklin, I'm with you until I disagree with you. Oh, Lord. And Dr. Franklin, I'm with you until you hurt my feelings. Oh, Lord. And I'm with you until you don't call my name. And that's why I'm glad say, be faithful until. So then, I hear saying, be faithful unto them. Oh Lord, and the road may be rough, the going may be tough, but I hear saying, don't be faithful until bad things happen, but be faithful unto them. Yes, that means don't be faithful until death comes. But then, though it may cause my death, well, I must be faithful. Oh, yes. So I am saying, be thou faithful unto death. And I will give thee then a crown of life. Oh, yes. And I'm gonna close there, and I tell you just one more thing. Well, it is said that back during the days of the Civil War, when the North and the South were at war one with another, and you know how our forefathers yearned and burned and prayed to be free. And after a while, many of them learned that the Union Army was on their way. And the old man that was on his plantation that was black born in slavery, when he heard the Union Army was coming, he got his stick and got him some rock and started down to the battlefield. Oh, yes. Somebody said, John, where are you going with stones and sticks? I heard him saying, I'm going down to the battlefield and help the Union Army win this battle. But then, some way and somehow, yes, John was shot down on that battlefield. And one of his friends walked up to him and held him in his arms. And I heard him saying, if my relatives ask you how I died, and if my friends should ask you how I died, well, tell them I died on the field. Oh, yeah. You see, God does not want us to rust out, but God wants us to wear out. Oh, yeah. Dr. Quentin, you know, was still on the field. Yeah. I'm going to let you know here now, but I hear somebody saying, well, doctor, you talk about a good soldier. I heard you say that a good soldier obeys orders. I heard you say that a good soldier learned how to put on his uniform and how to use his weapon. I heard you say that a good soldier is self-sacrificing. But doctor, tell me, is there anything else you got to say about a good soldier? Oh, Lord, I'm only going to tell you, yes, just one more thing I got to tell you. Did you hear what I'm saying? Just one more thing I got to tell you. Yeah, a good soldier stays on the field until he receives orders to come on home. Did you hear what I'm saying? He may be wounded on the battlefield. Before he's wounded, he's got to stay there. Yeah.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists. Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor. The promises of the Great Society have been shut down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counts. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages. America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. And this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check. I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with a pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own emancipation proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight.
Thank you. Jesus.